Every concerned parent, every discernible individual lives in fear of the times we live in today. The aged and the infirm in today's world constantly look back into the days of their youth. Why? To find comfort. Perhaps from past memories, as they compare the relative safety they once enjoyed. Today's society, they face terror. Without one day passing by, we hear of the aged and infirm being attacked, mugged, even in their own beds. They live in fear of even answering the door of their own homes. Yet, why look into the past? Surely violence has been around for many centuries. They failed to realize that even in their youth, violence was in the earth. People today will remember that yesterday's known felons received just punishments for their crimes. In today's society, they see just the opposite. The innocent are victimized, and the criminals are acquitted. Only today, a Sudanese criminal raped a child. And by human rights and the European Commission, Britain cannot export him. They cannot send him back. They're keeping him in Britain. What on earth has gone wrong? Today is fraught with all sorts of problems, which are rapidly worsening as we speak. There's crisis upon crisis, affluence, failing economics, extreme policies, overpopulated countries, unemployment, famine, disease, pollution, wars, idleness, immorality, drug addiction, violence, murder, rape, crime, and the list goes on. Yes, this is today's civilization. How far will it deteriorate? Now, to tackle this question, we need to look at our introductory reading in Luke 17. It has some bearing on today. Since the days of Noah, the majority of mankind has continually disobeyed God's law. In Luke 17, we, like the aged of today, are able to compare the past with the things of today, with the difference that we do not shut off memory, the bad times either. They serve a purpose which we hope you too will realize by the end of this lecture. I'd like you to direct your attention to Luke 17, verse 26. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. The Son of Man, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, has not yet returned. But we are now going to see what they did in the days of Noah. They lived in a time of crisis, as it was in verse 28. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. These men lived in days of crisis in this world. They each lived according to the commandments of God. That is what made them stand out from the crowd. But you cannot take away the fact that they lived in terrible times, troublous times, which we will find ended in disaster for the society they lived in. But both Noah and Lot escaped the destruction provided by God. So let's go to where best of all is to go right back into the past. Back to Genesis chapter 6. The days of Noah. Chapter 6, verse 1. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. We have giants today in power. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which are of old, men of renown. We have them today. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And that is today's civilization. That's the comparison. The days of Noah to our day. When every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. What does God then think of today's society in comparison to the days of Noah? Verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Nothing has changed at all from the days of Noah. Violence has filled the earth every day, every week, every month, every year, every decade, century, millennia. Violence has filled the earth. What happened in the days of Noah? Well, we know from the scriptures that God brought a great flood. Verse 12. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh, no exception, had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Not all corrupted his way, as we shall see. Verse 17. Behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee, with Noah, will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Everything that was to be preserved upon the earth was taken into the ark. And the flood water raised the ark above the earth, and all flesh in the earth was completely destroyed. But for 8 people to preserve life. Was this to be the end of mankind? No. God showed mercy by one man's obedience. Noah, it says in verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. 8 people were saved in the days of Noah, out of teeming millions that were probably on the earth at that time. Teeming millions wholly given to wickedness, corruption, every evil imagination of their heart was continually evil. What does God think of today? Today's civilization. What bearing then does this have in relation to today? You may ask. Well, before I answer that question, as we've already introduced Lot, we need to see his society and what it was like. Because that supplies part of the solution. If we go to Genesis 19. There came 2 angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold, now my lord's turning, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." Can you honestly say that you could abide in the street all night in safety in today's civilization? You're not even safe in your own bed, let alone in the street at night. My sister-in-law has had a recent experience of that herself. Whoever the perpetrators were, they broke in between 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning on the Sunday, and they robbed her. She was sleeping in the bed downstairs, in the same room that they robbed. No one is safe today, especially at night. If that's the kind of society we live in, what are we looking back into the days of Lot for? There came 2 angels. Angels. In verse 3, Lot says, he pressed upon them greatly. He urged them to turn in with him and enter into his house. He made them a feast and he made unleavened bread, and they did eat. Lot welcomed these strangers into his house. Why did he press upon them not to stay in the street at night? Because he knew what this place was really like. How evil Sodom was. He pressed them upon them greatly. Don't stay in the street at night. And why? What happened next actually was beyond Lot's expectations. Before they lay down, the men of the city and the men of Sodom compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. That must have been a huge, frightening crowd. A lynch mob, you could say. And why? They called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." Lot, fearing for their lives, went out the front door and shut the door after him. Here is a brave man. He said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." He made a suggestion about his 2 daughters. But no sooner as they said that, he said, the angels called, "Stand back." The men said, "Stand back. We don't want to know you. Bring them men out." he refused. But then they turned their attention to Lot. Okay then, we will deal worse with thee than with them. Fearful to stay in the night? Yes. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But yet the men, and I'll draw your attention to that, the men were angels. Not as Christendom purports them to be, with wings and playing harps. These were and looked like ordinary men. But these were angels, messengers sent from God. They put forth their hand, pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And what did they do to those outside? They smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Lot knew the society he lived in. He lived in terror of them. Why do you think he was at the gate of the city? Why wasn't he in the city? He couldn't walk down the street without seeing the unrighteous, wicked, evil ways they were doing. He vexed his righteous soul day by day, night by night, groaning all the day long. And don't forget, he had sons and daughters in amongst them who did equally the same. Second Peter 2, verse 7 and 8 says much about Lot's character. That he was vexed with a filthy conversation, vexed with the way of life of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Sodom was lawless. But more so, they were rebellious against God's law. Before they lay down, it was only Lot that spoke up for them. It was only Lot that spoke out against their evil deeds. But no doubt, the attitude of the people to all the forms of wickedness that they committed, they did it with full consent and without any shame. What happened to Lot and his two daughters and to the men that were with them in the house? The angels rescued Lot, his wife and the two daughters. They actually led them out of Sodom and told them to flee to the mountains because God's judgment is about to be poured upon this evil city and her sister city, Gomorrah. But was there an element of God's mercy in that? Well, it was interesting that Abraham had already met these two angels. And he pleaded for Sodom to the angels, to God. Perhaps there be 40 found there. I will not destroy Sodom for 40's sake. Perhaps there will be 30 there. I will not destroy Sodom for 30's sake. Those who had the truth. And he went down, all the way down to what he thought was comfortable. Perhaps if there were 10 left in there. Would you destroy Sodom? Not for even 10's sake. Four people were in the house in Lot. Of Lot. Lot, his wife, and two daughters. But even then, his wife looked back and died. So three people left Sodom. Three out of the thousands that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the day they left Sodom and went into a little city called Zoar, God brought judgments upon Sodom. Verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Abram got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and set Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. What did Abraham think? Wow, there wasn't 10 in the city. Not even 10 that had the truth. Because he saw evidence before his very eyes. Destruction. Not even 10. He must have wondered, what happened to Lot's family? Lot, no doubt, had lots of children. What happened to Lot's family? Only 3 left Sodom before it was destroyed. So the answer to the question, what bearing does this have in relation to today? This is our civilization. This is the society that we live in today. It has a shocking resemblance to the days of Noah and Lot. The history of Sodom and Gomorrah is being repeated today. And soon no one will be immune from it. Why have things got so bad? The answer is that mankind has rejected God and rebelliously followed their wicked ways. The prophet Isaiah says it all. Look at Isaiah chapter 59. Verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is it heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Does that not describe our society today? The innocent are victimized. The perpetrators and the criminals get away with murder. This is our society today. It's not got any better. Verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Where is judgment? Where is justice today? It seems bereft of all. The criminal, the murderer, They don't get deserved judgment. They don't get the justice that they deserve. I know for a fact that there is a law that should a thief break into your house, if, for instance, you have a kettle of cold water and you throw the water, not the kettle, obviously, if you throw water over him, he can sue you for injury. If you throw warm, soapy water at him, you'll get off with a fine. It's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. He is in there to rob you and probably kill you. And you have been subjected to being sued for throwing cold water over him? Where's the law in that? There is no sense at all that the criminals get away with it. But this is today's society. Nothing's changed from the days of Lot. Nothing's changed from the days of Noah. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. What else can we expect from their laws? I'd like to turn to the New Testament and 2 Peter chapter 2. Which probably explains why Noah and Lot were saved, and those that were with them. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not really an accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with him, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Yes, this is totally what the world is today. Unrighteous, wicked, evil. There are loads of words to describe it. They're godless. This world is godless and gross darkness. No enlightenment at all covers the people. 2 chapter 3 and verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stirred up your poor minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Saviour, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Noah, the flood. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved. Reserved for what reason? Reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, here is a warning to those to learn the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Here is an appeal to search the scriptures. What for? Search the scriptures, because in those scriptures are the words of eternal life. But how many turn in to you, to our lectures? How many even approach you to ask you what you believe in? Not many. These scriptures here serve as a warning. Otherwise, there is a frightening prospect for all who don't heed to it. The ultimate question can be answered by scripture then. In the last message of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave unto his servant John, we are told that the time will be right to give glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men, when Revelation 11:15 has been fulfilled. What does the last message mean? What does it say? Revelation 11 and verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. It is when that has been fulfilled, this society will not be around. It'll be a change of order, politically, nationally, individually. It'll be a complete change. Psalm 72 verse 11 says, yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Zechariah 14 verse 9, and the Lord shall be king of all, over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Zechariah 14 verse 16, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of tabernacles. Jeremiah 3 verse 17, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. Isaiah 24 verse 23, then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously. Indeed, we can confirm at that time the land of Israel is where Christ will manifest himself a second time to the world. But when and how will that develop? Micah 4 verse 1, in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the Lord, mountain of the house of the Lord, shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, not man's ways. No longer will they do everything as they please. God's law will be established in the earth. Justice, equality will be on God's basis, not man's basis. And the reaction and the effect, we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Verse 6 of Micah 4. In that day, says the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. And thou tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. But when will all this be achieved? Where will we find the answers? We can't look to the mighty men of renown today and the giants that are in power. They only dish out evil and wicked ways and policies. They're numerous, but they don't have the answer. When will all this be achieved? We can only go to one place. Let's go to the prophecies. The prophet, Daniel in particular. We're all familiar with Daniel chapter 2, where he interpreted the king of Babylon's dream. But what did the prophecy tell us? It told us the developments of certain world empires. The uprise of four world powers, to be exact, in succession, until a time when divine intervention will succeed. Daniel 2, verses 31 to 45. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image, this great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. He proceeds to explain what these images were. It was the rise of the great empire of Babylon, superseded by Medes and Persians, superseded by the Greeks, superseded by Rome, the Roman Empire. All are in the dust. Not one of them now exists in their plenitude. These verses in Daniel give the certain declaration of God's purpose, clearly indicating the necessity of the personal and visible return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth to set up and establish God's kingdom. This is confirmed by Scripture. Daniel 2, verse 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Here is a development. Empire, 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 empire. Destroyed, gone, in the dust. But it's developed. And now we are now living in the very day, the very time when Christ will return to the earth. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And the kingdom of God shall stand forever. Now that has been a prophecy that's been written down in the days of Daniel, but still stands strong to this day. We are about to see great developments. We're already seeing that. The prophecies coming together. Britain in the Middle East, America in the Middle East, the Gorgian host at the top, Russia, all coming together according to prophecy. It's all neatly falling into place. Note in Daniel 2, verse 44, that there is no transference of powers to the mighty men of renown today. It's not done by voluntary means either. but by the exercise of divine force and authority. Like all greedy men in power, even as we see them today, they will resist Christ and his demands. But they are in for an immense shock. We know from the scriptures that Jesus is to return. This is confirmed in the Acts of the Apostles. Acts 1 verse 11, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." In other words, he's coming back. Well, Ben. Again, in Acts 3 verse 19, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before was preached unto you." He is to come back to the earth. That is the promise. Yes, this world is in for a tremendous shock. Affluence is going to go out the window. It's not because of policies of the current government. This is all part of the plan that God set from the beginning. They looked at Jesus as the Lamb of God still. Well, he is the Lamb of God. And when he comes back, he'll have a different countenance. To them, to us, he'd be the Lion of God. He won't submit to men when he returns, as he did the first time. He will submit to God's law. And his intent will be to assert his power in order to establish God's kingdom on the earth. Haggai 2 verse 22 says plainly, "I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations." Zechariah describes the extent of that authority. We go to Zechariah chapter 14. Verse 1, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, the houses rife with women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle." We know that Jerusalem is a city long fought over. It's still being fought over to this day. The Arabs want a peace, Catholics want a peace, and Christians want a peace. The Jews own most of it. Israel, we know, is always a country in the media. We know Israel to be a nation who has faced war after war, crisis after crisis. A people who faced almost annihilation under Hitler. And currently they're under threat from its neighbors. All intent on destroying Israel. No Jew should exist. But, again, the nations are going to be in a tremendous shock shortly. They're not going to have Benjamin Netanyahu in charge of Israel. Or their military commanders. They're going to have a new leader. And that new leader will suppress all nations before them. Zechariah chapter 12. Verse 9. Beginning of verse 8. "In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. And the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. Who were they talking about in that description? Who did they pierce? They pierced his hands and his feet and his brow. He sweat great drops of blood. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimon in the valley of Megiddo. A new leader will stand for Israel. He will not be suppressed. He will go forth and conquer. Revelation 16 says he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew town Armageddon. And as we know from the scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ will gain the victory in that battle. Well, when will this divine intervention begin? Didn't you know it's already begun? Consider these scriptures. Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That means God with us. Butter and honey shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come, from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. There's a promise of a redeemer. Now these words have been here for centuries. But how many know what these words mean? It's interesting, our daily, reading, St. Matthew chapter 16. The Pharisees, also the Sadducees came and tempted and desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, he can discern the face of the sky. But can he not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it. Why? For the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. And that's what we get today. We get these signs given everywhere. But people can't make head or tail of them, unless somebody interpret them. And it is the same here. We've had signs through the scriptures. We have signs every day. Surely people are not so ignorant that they can't see what's going on in this world. But they are. They're totally ignorant. They shut themselves off from it. I love watching the news. And I see the developments of the news. I look and Debka file, which is an Israeli intelligence agency. But it's interesting. Why? Because we know the scriptures. We want to see how they develop. But you don't go up to somebody and say, what do you think of Syria then? What they do? And say, what? They just look at it blank. They don't know what's going on in this world. And they're willingly ignorant of it. Willingly. They volunteer themselves to be ignorant. With all the knowledge that's in the world, their knowledge is worth nothing. Isaiah chapter 9. need to come to a close now. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God is not slack concerning his promises. We've already read that. God will perform this. Isaiah 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Again, Isaiah 59, verse 16. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Didn't you know it's already begun? The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ has already begun. And soon our Redeemer will return as God has promised. So, consider the state of the world today. We know the return of Christ is imminent. We've had lots of descriptions from the scriptures as to what we can expect and how far this world would deteriorate before Christ returns. Luke 17, verse 26. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Why is it today people can discern the sky to see whether it will rain or will be sunny the next day? And they cannot see the evidence before their eyes by looking through the scriptures. Why can't people see these things are so very near? 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This applies to the world today. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. You think it's bad now? We've got a long time perhaps before Jesus returns to the earth. How much will it deteriorate? In the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. You can say that for sure. Covetous, yes. Boasters, certainly. Proud. Blasphemers, yes, every day. Disobedient to parents, that's their children. Unthankful, yes. Unholy, yes, they're without God. Without natural affection, break up of families. Truth breakers, no one's honest today. False accusers, yeah. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Certainly we get that kind of reaction. Traitors, yes. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You ought to see all the cars that go in their Sunday run around. Having a form of godliness, yes, there's a lot of that going on, but denying the power thereof. The warning for us is to such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3 verse 3, they shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where's the promise of his coming? You know the kind of attitude and, you know, the little bounce that they give when they say that to you. Well, when is he coming? It's been going on for, you've been saying that for ages. God is not slack concerning his promises. He will perform this. Listen to the scriptures. The message is clear. And time is running out. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 7. Soon the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 17 verse 31. God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he raised him from the dead. So between now and the appointed day, we know what a troubled time the world is to experience. So what are you going to do about it? I know I'm preaching to the converted here, but if there were someone who had turned in one night, one day, to listen to these words, I would be saying, what are you going to do about your salvation? Your first step is to learn the truth of the word of the gospel, and then search the scriptures, for in them is the key to eternal life.